paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. Say it with me, 38 years. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a long time. 38 years, man, it's a long time. You've been laying there 38 years. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. 38 years this guy had been there. When Jesus saw him, the knew that he had been ill for a long time. He asked him, would you like to get well? Pretty obvious question to ask some guy that's been laying beside a pool that's a healing pool. Do you really want to get well? I'm like, dude, 38 years. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. All right, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Now, some versions of the Bible says he was paralyzed. He was obviously very sick to lay there 38 years. Everyone agree? He'd been laying there 38 years. Listen, in order to get well, you have to have faith in the treatment. And it would seem that he didn't have faith in the treatment, because why couldn't he get there? I mean, he was so sick, he couldn't do anything on his own. Somebody had to bring him there, right? So why didn't they throw him in the water? Why didn't they do it? 38 years, that's a long time to lay right next to the thing that could heal you. And probably was he didn't have anybody in the way. A part of the problem was that the scripture said that I can't get in. It's too crowded whenever the water boils up. But somebody had to bring him there. Look at the picture on the front of your bulletin. Look at that, and I think there's a picture on the screen here too. That is the pool of Bethesda. That's it, or Bethesda, or however you want to pronounce it. That's the pool. If I could zoom in, and I can't from here, but up here on the right-hand side, straight above my Bible, 3/4 of the way up, is a little sign. And it says, Southern Pool, 50 meters by 60 meters. Somebody say that's big. Now, here's the other thing. It's 30 feet deep. 30 foot deep. Now, I had this idea in my mind that the pool of Bethesda was like this. This dude's laying here. And he just needs to roll into it because it's like this deep. You know, roll into it and get well. Splash a little water on yourself. It's 30 foot deep. Does that make a difference? Yeah, this guy was paralyzed. He was sick. He was really bad off. If he rolled in that water, what might happen to him? Yeah, that he might drown. Do you want to get well? Do you have faith in the treatment? I don't know. It seems like things are a little bit different when you realize it's 30 foot deep. How many of you notice that verse 4 is not in the scripture? Look in your bulletin. There's no verse 4. Did you notice that? It goes verse 1, 2, 3, 5. Did you see that? Is it on the screen? Is the scripture on the screen, Kelly? See, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. Verse 5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Now, if you have a modern version of the Bible, something that was written after the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the 50s, you will see that verse 5 is not there, because verse 4 is not there, because the most things of the Bible, the things that they find, didn't have verse 4. Do you know what verse 4 reads? It says that an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. Well, the most reliable manuscripts didn't have confidence in the pool either. because they say that wasn't in there. So now you're laying by the pool and the water boils, but you don't know if that boiling water is bringing healing or not. I would imagine some people were healed and some people weren't. Now think about the paralyzed guy or the really sick guy laying beside the pool, and he wants to roll into a 30-foot deep pool of water. Or he says to one of his buddies, will you roll me in there? No, man, I'm not going to be responsible for you dying. You I roll you in there, you sink like a rock. Or you get healed. How many times have you and I have no confidence in the healing? I want to be healed. I know there's a way to be healed. But, oh my gosh, the risk of that healing. I don't know if I want to go through that or not. I think maybe that'd be a part of what this guy was talking about. No confidence in the healing. In order to get well, you have to have confidence in the healing, and then you have to accept the healing. What was the evidence of this guy's healing? Do you remember what happened when he was healed? Do you know? Listen to the scripture. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. In order to get well, you have to accept the healing. What was the evidence of this guy's healing? What was it? He stood up, walked up, picked his mat up, walked off. Going from afflicted to being healed is often is taken for granted. Being afflicted to being healed. How many of you have been healed of a sinful nature? All of us, right? If you're a Christian, you've been healed of a sinful nature. You have been. And I noticed that only like three people raised their hand because nobody else wants to admit that one time at least they were sinful, right? Or maybe they didn't want to raise their hand because they didn't want to admit they've been healed from being sinful because we're still sinful people. How many of you have been healed from a sinful nature? Now let me ask you this. If you've been healed from a sinful nature, how difficult is it for you to stay away from that sinful nature? Woo. Accept the healing and walk away from the sickness. Not as easy as it sounds. I mean, it sounds like be done with it. Be over with it. Luann and I on our way home from our trip, we flew back into Atlanta, and we spent the night in Atlanta. We were exhausted. We knew we were going to be, so we made plans for that. And then the next morning, we got up, and we flew from Atlanta to Toledo, but by the way of North Carolina. That's just the way they flew. So we flew from Atlanta to North Carolina, and we're sitting in the airport in North Carolina for like a 2.5-hour layover or something. The flight from Atlanta to North Carolina was 45 minutes. We sat on the tarmac for 45 minutes, waiting in line to fly out. By the way, if you can help it, never fly on a Monday. That's when everybody else is flying, all the business people's flying. Oh my gosh, it's a zoo. But we're sitting in the airport in North Carolina getting ready to leave, and Luann, we had this one carry-on bag. You know, and it had a handle on it that pulls out, and you roll it behind you. And Luann had sat down, and I put the carry-on bag next to her, and we had a whole bunch of other backpacks and stuff, and we're sitting there waiting for the plane. Luann got up to go to the bathroom, and we never put the handle down on the bag. You know, it sets up about this much higher than the bag. And we're sitting there, and I'm looking around, and of course, in the airport, there's these seats that face each other, and they're pretty close, and it's a crowded-up mess and stuff, and there's all kinds of people there. And I turned to do something, and I knocked that bag over, and that handle's sticking out, and it whapped some lady right across from me, right on the knee. I mean, it hit like that, and she went, oh, and I jumped up, and I grabbed the bag, and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I hit you right on the knee. And I thought, oh, it didn't hurt her much. Well, it's a heavy bag, and that handle sticking up there, it's like being hit by the end of a baseball bat, you know. And it smacked her right on the knee, and she was trying to not let on like it hurt, But every once in a while, she'd rub her knee. And I would go, oh, man, I can't believe I knocked that over. And I can believe that because I do something like that all the time. And it hit her. And pretty soon, she pulled her pant leg up. I mean, she pulled it up and looked. I mean, she looked to see if it was bleeding or something, I guess. And anyway, we ended. Luann came back and rescued me. I said to her, Luann, I knocked her suitcase over, hit that lady right on the knee with the handle. And she said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And struck up a conversation with this lady. She had been to Israel just a short time before. And so we got that conversation going. We understand that we were both Christians, and she still would reach down, rub her knee every once in a while. I thought, oh gosh, I paralyzed this lady. And there was a guy with her and another lady. And I thought it was her husband, and I thought this guy's going to get up and slap me or something. I hurt his wife, but anyway, they started calling our plane, and you board according to the class you're in. And we were in class 9. She was in class 9. It was like way off that they were going to go. And I leaned over and I said to her, "Well, because you're crippled, you could probably board first." And she said, "I am not receiving that." Think about that. I am not receiving that. You know, when we've been healed, why do we so easily go back to the sickness? What? Wonder if we would just all be healed, and then when the symptoms of the sickness come back, we say, I am not receiving that. I want no part of that. I want to be healed, and I want to accept the healing. I don't want to accept the garbage that goes with not being healed. And we would just reject that, turn away from the affliction. Let's go on. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." Somebody say, oh my word. "Doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk." "Well, who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. I mean, you know that person that said that, didn't you? It wasn't the Pharisees. It was somebody that you can think of. Don't name their name, all right? The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd. In order to get well, you have to have faith in the treatment. You have to accept the healing, and you can't listen to the skeptics. You just can't do that. There are those who say that it can't be done. There are. He'll never get sober. He'll never amount to anything. He'll always be a deadbeat. He'll never get a job. He'll never make a marriage work. He'll never get well, and on and on, and they'll never be able to. Because those are the skeptics. And you can't listen to the skeptics. You got to set them aside. There are those who care about you and want the best for you, and there are those that don't. And the ones that don't, I mean, this guy had been healed from a disease that had kept him beside the pool for how long? 38 years. 38 years. Now, Jerusalem wasn't that big of a community. I'm going to promise you, the place at the pool of Bethesda, that's not that big a place. It's pretty small. I mean, look at your bulletin. It's not huge. I mean, the pool was huge. The place around it was pretty good size. But after 38 years, you'd probably known that guy, right? Especially if you were one of these teachers of the law, and you were there all the time. It's just outside the temple, just right there. And they would have known a holy place where people would have been healed. They would have known 38 years. He got up and walked, and you know what they said to him? "Who said you could carry that mat?" Wow. The guy didn't even care that he was healed. Who are you going to let influence your lives? The people who constantly say you can't do that, you'll never amount to anything, you're not... Why do we receive that? I mean, you just can't listen to the skeptics if you want to get well. Let me ask you this. Who are you going to let influence your life? I mean, I think those are decisions that you have to make. Who are you going to let influence your life? Who is it that can stand beside you and speak into your life? Who is it that you've allowed to do that? Is it the ones that care about you? Or is it the critics? The ones that always tell you that something negative about your life. I mean, if you love someone and you care about somebody, you don't pull them aside and just tell them some hurtful thing and then walk off. I mean, that's not what you do with people that you care about. Let me ask you this question. What afflicts you today? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being everything that you could be, that God created you to be and do? What's holding you back? You need a healing for that? As we close here this morning, I'd like to invite you to come and ask God for a healing. I mean, you can come here to the front of the church and pray to God for that healing. Or you can come and I have a little thing of oil and I'll anoint you with oil for healing or pray with you for healing. Do you want to be well? Do you want to put off that thing that's just causing you to have doubt? Do you want to stay well? I think today would be a good day to begin that first day of being well from the affliction to hold you back of the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would, that your presence in our hearts would just become big, that we would come to the realization that we don't have to be sick, that, Lord, you can deliver us, that we don't have to be worried or pressed down or pushed aside or have doubts about what you've called us to do, but, Lord, that because of your Spirit, we're more than capable. And, Lord, I pray that that would be the cry of our hearts this morning. We would accept the healing that you have for us and that we wouldn't turn back from it and that, Lord, we wouldn't listen to the skeptics. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do we have some music we could play, Jason? Because I think it's important that, you know, when Jesus healed the guy, the first thing that he said to him is stand up, pick up your mat, and walk away. And I think that sometimes what keeps us from healing is we don't stand up and we don't take the healing that God has for us. And this morning, I'd ask you to do that. Stand up and come forward, accept the healing that God has for us. All right? Would you come? Would you come?
Dizzy lately.